Someone just happened to tell me, happy birthday, Renata. Woo! My wife and I wanted to sincerely thank all of you for the cards and gifts for pastor appreciation. It's really humbling to get cards that are written with messages that were in them, just sharing your hearts. Thank you. It's because of you. It's because of Jesus. That's why we do what we do. And my wife and I have been serving side by side for over 40 years. And God has certainly blessed that. It's not easy, but it's because people like you that are mature enough to come alongside and encourage us, that's helped tremendously. So thank you very much. The conference, I wanted to say that I was very proud of you guys. I know that Sunday morning was off the charts when Kenneth Holder asked for the ministry to come up. Ministry team, three-quarters of the church came forward. And he said, I've never seen this kind of response before. He said, whatever you guys are doing, you've laid a really good foundation. And this has been years, not just Sandy and I. Steve and Midge, are you kidding me? All the years they put in there, it's just brick upon brick. Amen? And we have a very, very mature group of people. I contacted several people, and I got feedback from several people. And I wanted to tell you that Paul Hamlet, who had a lot of his people from Medford, is a big Hispanic crowd in here, they were so touched. And God healed so many broken and wounded areas in their life. And that's who Paul ministers to, is people coming out of the gangs of San Francisco. Some of these people sitting here were out of some of those gangs in San Francisco. And God radically altered their hearts. He shared that with me. And that was pretty exciting to hear. There was changed hearts. We heard of healings. I think Barb Meyer prayed for someone. Where's Barb at? It was a healing. It was just exciting to see. But with that also came, you know, people that were people that were challenged to the core. And that always, spiritual warfare conference, I think that kind of comes with the territory. But a lot of people were challenged to their core. I just want to address that for a moment because I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think it's a growing moment. You know, Proverbs 14:4 says, where there are no oxen, the manger is empty. Then it says, but from the strength of an ox comes abundant harvest. In the Passion Translation, it says, the only clean stable is an empty stable. So if you want the work of an ox and enjoy an abundant harvest, you'll have a mess or two to clean up. So really, what we're saying here is that as we learn and we grow and we mature and we learn how to eat the meat, we also have to learn how to spit the bones, right? That's just all part of the journey. I remember Bill and Carol Dew. How many remember Bill and Carol Dew? Remember that statement, water off a duck's back? That was a lot of what they shared. If this isn't for you, if this doesn't ring a bell, man, just let it be water off a duck's back. Let's move on. So one of the things, though, that I want to address very, very quickly before we get to the elephant in the room, and that was something that happened during the conference that kind of pricked my heart. And please hear my heart. There was a moment when a question and answer moment happened at the Sunday evening. And someone asked that, could we pray and curse the ground or curse the marijuana plants? And something in my spirit just went, I don't believe that we're called to curse things. I don't. I believe and we're challenged to speak to the issues. And we're to pray for the brokenness in people. I think if we begin to pray for the brokenness in people and we do our job as believers, then this whole area of addictions and all that, I think we will help people more than just cursing. It's like going to say, let's just burn down all the abortion clinics. What does that accomplish? When really we should be praying for the broken people that are entering into these arenas. And addiction is huge. It's all over the board. Many of you are addicted to other things as well. And you need to be delivered from them as well, and you know that. I'm not trying to meddle, but I will for a moment. I'm just saying, challenge your heart. You know, God called us to do a job. He said, go and make disciples. Pray. lay hands on the sick, set the captives free. And we do that by going out and showing people how much God loves them. And as we pray them through and we help them with these issues of the heart, I believe that they begin to change. And God begins to fill that void in their life that was taken up by some kind of substance abuse, whatever that may be. Does that make sense, guys? So I want us to be a family that blesses and not curses. Amen? Amen. You know, my son made a comment. He said that maybe the church in this moment in history would not have been deemed non-essential if the church had been standing up and doing its job. I have to agree with that. Let's do our job. This morning you're going to hear me speak, let's do our job. Even Moses, God said, do your job, Moses. Moses had a promise from God that he would lead these people and God would be with them. And many times Moses came to a point, the people are freaking out, everything's going on crazy. And God says, Moses, do your job. Lead my people. You know, there's so many voices today that I'm telling you, shut them all down. We don't need to be listening to the opinions of man on every corner, on every channel, on every social media thing. We need to be listening to what God is speaking in this moment. And he is telling us that peace is with us. He's telling us that we have a job to do. Hey, guys, good to see you. Turn with me to Exodus 14. You know, to me, the elephant in the room is something like this. What in the world is going on? Could all of the prophets been wrong? Did God put a lying tongue in all of the prophets? I don't think so. But remember, it's not over yet, right? But I want us to realize that in the interim, no matter what happens, we have a job to do as believers. And that's not to yell at the world. Okay? It's to demonstrate Jesus here on earth. And how would Jesus react and respond to what's going on in this climate? Exodus 14. Now, I'm going to read through this quickly because today I don't want to preach a long message. I want us to worship in his presence and regain and kind of resurrect a sense of peace in our hearts so we can recenter ourselves in Jesus and kind of catch our footing as we move forward. Amen? That's my intent. Exodus 14, starting, most of you guys all know this story, but starting in verse 4, you know, Moses had gone to Pharaoh. I'm going to paraphrase here. Said, let my people go. No, all the plagues come, all this stuff happens. Finally, the Pharaoh relents and he says, okay, go ahead and go. And verse 4, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites moved on. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their mind about them and said, they must have been thinking, holy cow, what were we thinking to let all those people go? Now we're going to have to work. Let's rethink this. And in the rethinking, they decided to chase them down, capture them, and bring them back into slavery. And I'm just going to read slowly down through here. But he took 600 of the best chariots, along with the other chariots of Egypt, and officers all over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. Picture this. God hardening the Pharaoh's heart. I'm going to get those guys. Can you imagine that? Have you ever felt that edginess to your heart where it's being hardened towards something? You ever had that moment? You feel like this thing's creeping up on you, going, stop. But you just feel like this thing's encroaching on you. And I can only figure, here's the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, just almost getting TMJ because he's chewing his cud so hard. He's just going, oh, I'm going to get those guys. Maybe that's where it all started. I don't know. So they took off after them. Verse 10, as Pharaoh approached, Israelites looked up. And there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have we done? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Man, and think of how many people were there and how those voices must have just come up. And here's Moses standing there. Picture this for a moment. They're being chased, probably off these high plains, down through this canyon, wandered through this big canyon that came down to the right to the face of the Red Sea. And there was actually a town there, but they're right there at the face looking at the Red Sea going. Then they turn around, they look up at the army coming at them, the big, probably a big cloud of dust just coming at them. It was one of those uh-oh moments. And they're looking in the natural. They're looking in the natural going, this is impossible. How is this going to work out? Oh, Moses, this is your fault. You brought us down here. Now we're all going to die. It's interesting. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. Now, I'm sure that sounded really good, but were they kind of like, okay, Moses, we'll see. And they're probably still looking up at the big army that's coming down on them. They're still looking at the big thing that's coming at them. And somewhere Moses had to say, said to them, turn around. It says, the Egyptians will see today, the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. It's very easy when things are going wrong to think you're going to take matters into your own hands. Right? How many have done that? It's like, just wait for it. You're like, I ain't waiting. I'm getting out of the car right now. Not a good thing in this moment. Stay in the car. Be still. Wait. Especially if there's like a big grizzly bear out there or Sasquatch or something. It's not wise to get outside of the car. Now listen to this. Then the Lord said to Moses, this is so amazing to you. Moses must have been praying at this moment. Oh God, help us. Help me. Listen to what God says to Moses. Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people, tell the Israelites to move on. Okay. Which way do we go? Because here comes this big army and there's just a bunch of water there. Now listen to what God says. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea to the dry ground. Then he says, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so they will go after them. We know the story. Moses turns to the water. Now think about this for a moment. God called Moses, and God's amazing grace and power was upon Moses. Grace is God's empowering presence. So the presence of God is with Moses. Moses has an anointing to tell the people to move on. And then God says, turn around, put your hand, raise your staff at the water. The water parts. Did you know that that same Holy Spirit that rested upon Moses, that same Spirit of God is on you? Amen. You have a calling. You have an anointing. You have a moment right now where you can either stand there and look at the army and freak out, or you can turn around and say, let's move on. Amen. Let's look to what we're looking at. It looks impossible, but God said in his word that he had a promised land for us. Amen. Let's move on. Let's keep moving forward. Let's put one foot in front of the other. And the moment that happened, the Red Sea parted. What a moment. And they begin to walk through on dry ground. Verse 23, it says, the Egyptians pursued them, and all the Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and a cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. I think God is about to throw incredible confusion into the environment. I think it's happening now. And there's, let's not get caught up in that, because that's something that was for the world to experience, not for us. If we have our eyes and our heart focused on Jesus, if we're focused on doing our job, we're not going to have a hard time. We're going to simply put one foot in front of the other. And we're going to walk into the very thing that God has for us. Amen? So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. You guys know the story. They're all in there. All of the Pharaoh's army, they're all in there. And they never saw those people ever again. And they were free to move on. And at that moment, I'm sure that an incredible amount of fear and awe towards God and how powerful he was had to have spread through the entire nation of Israel, right? You know, guys, I want to tell you, the enemy right now in this moment has really stepped up its attack on our faith. It's really stepped up the attack on the church. Why? He wants to rattle our faith. He wants to take this moment of incredible intimidation where he wants to throw us into confusion and fear. God's already doing that. Let's not get caught up in that. God is speaking directly to us by his Holy Spirit. He's speaking directly to our hearts. And he's telling us to walk by faith, not by sight. This is why it's so important right now. Max Rushmeyer posted something on social media to just shut it all down. This is a good moment to shut all that stuff down and just get on your knees and focus on God and the direction that he has for you. And I know what you're going to hear. Move on. Move on. Don't camp here. If you do, bitterness will creep into your heart. Anger will rise up within you. You're going to do things you're going to regret later. Get up and move on. I have a land that's promised for you. He's telling us not to fear. He's telling us that he's got this. You know, we must hold on and reject all of these crazy notions that spin through our head that the enemy's trying to put in our mind. That's why we need to shut it down. Because you watch this, you watch that, you watch this, and pretty soon you feel like you've been slimed. And you feel this angst in your heart starting to rise. Some feel like they want to run to their gun closet. This is not the moment for that. It's the moment to just simply say, Father, what direction do I move in? Then left foot, right foot, walk in to the promises of God. Jesus said in John 14, 27, he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Again, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's Jesus speaking directly to us in this moment. Later in John 20, verse 19, it says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. You imagine that? The Savior, the one that they loved, had died, been crucified. And they're trying to get their heads around what happened. It didn't make sense. There were a lot of people that believed that Jesus was going to come and save them from Roman oppression. And then it was going to be this utopic world and everything was going to be fine. That's not what God had in mind. God's got bigger things rolling right now, guys. We have to keep our eyes on those things. But Jesus said in all of this, peace be with you. Can you imagine who you thought? It'd be like someone you loved so dearly, all of a sudden standing in the room with you, saying peace. It had to have been a mind blower. Jesus just appeared. I can only imagine the rejoicing and the weeping that was happening in a good way. You know, the scripture tells us, this particular passage, John 20, 19, tells us that on this Sunday evening, after Jesus arose from the dead, the disciples, again, were being behind these locked doors because they were afraid. They were afraid of the Jewish leaders. And again, suddenly, Jesus is standing there with them. And again, he says, peace be with you. Now listen, I believe we're in this moment when Jesus is offering his peace to us. to fearful and concerned people, us, his believers. He is standing with us now, and he is offering us the same peace if we're willing to receive this peace as a gift. Can you believe? Do you believe? Can you believe that Jesus has peace for you to give to you? Can you believe it? You know, again, we are to walk by faith, not by sight, not by what we hear. We're to walk by what God says. That's what sets us apart as believers. Garris Elkins, love that brother. He posted this recently. It's the last part of one of his posts. And this is Garris Elkins. A resurrection of peace is coming. In this resurrection of peace, the Lord will challenge everything in our lives that creates fear and hopelessness. He will purify and simplify our lives so that our hope can be can return to us and return us to our original mooring, and the cargo of peace can be offloaded from the vessel of our faith. That's powerful. Then he says, this peace will not be produced by the results of this election, one way or another. The peace offered by the Prince of Peace will last long past this election, past our individual lifespans, and beyond time, the time allotted for our nation to exist. What a powerful word. I don't know about you, but I think we're in a moment where I don't think we need a big God, why? Why are you doing this, Father? We simply need peace. We know there's something coming. It's like, oh. But we're hearing God say, like to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Turn around, move. Take your anointing, smack the water. Tell it to move. Let's walk through. Let's move on. You know, when this pandemic, whatever you call it, stuff happened, my daughter Emily, she trained her children. She is at Seattle Revival Center. She runs the children's ministry up there. And she's done an amazing job. But she taught her children Psalms 91. Even my 5-year-old granddaughter can recite all 16 verses of Psalms 91. She just knew that if you have the word on their heart, it will bring them life. I'm going to tell you something, guys. Every one of you that have a Bible in your hands, look at it. Hold it up for a moment. Just take a good look at that book. That book that you're holding in your hand, that is the word of God. And it is supernatural. Everything that you need to wrestle through the issues of your heart and life are contained in that book. The power is there. But to appropriate that power, there's something that we have to do. We have to mix our faith with that word. And when we do, this synergy happens that blows our minds. It gives us the ability to stand in the midst of a storm and say, God, you got this. It gives you the ability when the winds of adversity blowing and it seems like everything is stacked against you, you're able to go, God, in your word, it says. And that so blesses God. Hebrews 4, just a couple verses here. It says, "For we have 2 and 3, for we have heard the good news of deliverance just as they did," talking about the children of Israel, "yet they didn't join their faith with the word. Instead, what they heard didn't affect them deeply, for they doubted." And then verse 3 says, "For those of us who believe, faith activates the promise, and we experience the realm of confident rest." Did you catch that? For those of us who believe, faith mixed with God's word activates the promise, and we experience the realm of confident rest. Peace. Psalms 91. Turn there quick. We're going to close with this. And then we're just going to worship. You guys good with that? Psalms 91. "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." When this whole pandemic started, my 5-year-old granddaughter, she would call me and grandma, and she'd say, "Can I say another verse?" And every time she called, she kept adding another verse. My other two older grandkids, they were just like sailing through it. But Joanna, she would just go, and she'd begin to just one verse at a time. She'd call each day. She had a new verse under her belt. It was so powerful and so awesome. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High God will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Do you believe? Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. Do you believe? He will cover you. He doesn't say, do you believe in there? I'm just saying. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Put your name in there. It will not come near me. Do you believe? Now I lost my place. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Their day's coming. I'm not cursing them. I'm just saying God's word says that there's a day He's going to take care of that stuff. We have other things to do, like bring life to broken people. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra, and you will trample the great lion and the serpent. That sounds like a warrior spirit to me. How about you? Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. This is God's reply here. He will call on me, I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I with long life, and I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Man. I can't say it enough, and I don't want to dwell on this, and I don't want to pound this drum, but it's so true. Are you walking by faith, or are you walking by sight? Because I'm telling you, if you don't have this adjusted right now, you will be thrown sideways, completely sideways. Do you know God? Do you know His word? How many of you want to see peace resurrected in your heart? Let's stand. And where's Greg? We're just going to take a few minutes and we're just going to worship. And I want to say this, if that's you, if you really want peace resurrected in your heart, if you've kind of gotten a little off in this moment and you want to recenter yourself and shelter under His mighty wings, this is that moment. And I'm going to go as far as to say, even come forward. And we just want to pray with you that you would have a resurrection of peace deep within your spirit. Amen?